How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my 2-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Oh, so sane!
The JK Show.
You're going retro?
Yeah, throwing it back. You remember 6 months ago?
Was it 6 months ago then we had?
Probably. Maybe.
You know, longer. I want to know what the record is for names of shows, like titles theme songs, because I think we might have already broken it out of the box.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like it's very garage bandy of us to be changing our name every 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's what, you know, when you're starting out with a band,
growing
you're trying
pains,
to find an identity. Yeah. Yeah, this is our second iPod in the diming room. We're diming.
Because even before we lit these things up, you were saying, let's change it to launch ass candy. Or just ass candy?
Yeah.
What was it exactly?
But it was more of a joke. Whatever the line is that Bill says.
We need to figure out, but we've known each other for 13 years. We need to figure out at what point you're joking and when you're serious, because I think that's twice now.
Are you serious? You don't know that point? I have long conversations with my girlfriend about this.
Really?
No.
There you go.
But I feel like you get me, though. I thought we knew when we were doing bits and when we're not doing the truth.
I have a strong feeling, but maybe I don't listen to that feeling. Maybe this is a bit right now that you don't know I'm doing.
I
think you do know. I think you know.
I do, baby.
I think you know what's up.
I think you know when I'm joking more than most people. For instance, remember when I got...
I would agree with that statement.
I would. I think it's very true.
100%.
Because you've translated English into English for me before. When I got that shot, remember when I threw up for no reason for a week? I would just throw up and I had no idea why.
We went to the hospital in Modesto.
In Modesto, and they said, they were asking me all those questions. You were sitting in the room and they said, does he need to leave? I said, there's no question you can ask that he doesn't already know the answer to. Thank God it was true. Because she says, is there a chance? The way the question was phrased was, do you have an STD?
Yeah,
or do you have AIDS? And I said, not likely, meaning not possible that I could because I haven't had sex. So
or shared needles in a heroin.
Exactly.
Bed.
So not likely. And she says, so is that a yes? And you had to jump in and be like, he's never had sex. Oh, 2002.
Which is great because maybe to that nurse, it looks like you and I are lovers. And I'm frustrated.
Why do you always want people to know that we're gay? Because the other time...
have we told that story?
I don't think so. So we were auditioning for Disney's improv troupe in the theme park there. We went to Baja Fresh. Is this the same day?
We're moving. It was another one of my moving days.
Yeah, it was
we're
just you and I,
just happening again tomorrow.
Yay, moving. And a little
or day
bit
after tomorrow, I should say.
I'm excited for tonight.
You're going to love this new place.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, so anyway, continue on with your story.
We were at Baja Fresh.
Yeah,
and,
love this story.
Get up to the counter, and you should probably tell it, and because you're better at it.
Kevin,
all I remember is that I wanted some iced tea, and I got a boyfriend.
Kevin and I, whenever we go out to eat, we'll trade off. Like, you know, sometimes he'll pay, sometimes I'll pay. It's never like an organized thing. It's whoever whips out the car reverse or whatever. You know, one of the few people I think in my life that I don't worry. Like, I don't keep a mental tally in my head of how much I'm owed in this relationship. You know, so anyway, we're at Baja Fresh. I think you were actually helping me move, and you also somehow ended up paying for lunch, which is great for me.
Wait, are you suggesting I'm going to do that on Wednesday as well?
Not a suggestion. An innuendo? Is that different?
I think it's an innuendo.
Does an innuendo have to be sexual?
No, that's why it's called the sexual innuendo.
Oh, that's so good. Innuendo sounds sexual to me.
It does.
You know, in and then innuendo.
Wow, you were blowing my mind.
Right? That's what I do. So anyway, we go to Baja Fresh, and the lady, we're doing bits with each other, I think, or something like that.
Entertaining ourselves, not her.
Yeah, the lady slides the ticket around to be signed, and I immediately grab it, and then I see your name at the bottom of the slip, and I go, oh, I don't know why I'm signing this. And then you go, because you think we're boyfriend and boyfriend.
Did I say that?
Yeah, that's what you said. And then I go, ha, 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 and she gave us our drinks. And I turn around, and I said, what do you want to drink? And you said, like, iced tea. And as I turned around, you go, we're not boyfriend and boyfriend, by the way, to the lady. lady, and I said as loud as loud could be, "Oh, you could tell your mother, but you can't tell her." And from behind, all you see is Kevin's shoulders just slumped, like, just defeated. Just in the same way of that, damn, when you lost an imaginary
hit
paycheck.
Damn. That's the thing. I feel like there are a number of times where our hilarious hijinks are wasted on the. Underpaid earnings of the behind the counter. I don't know where that. I had a very clever turn phrase for that.
I'll break it down in English for you. Yeah. He was saying that a lot of minimum wage earners have been entertained while on the clock by you and I.
But they don't get it.
They don't get it.
They don't understand the
not,
Speaking of which, that happened to us today. Kat and I were driving up to Mount Baldy, where there's snow.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about that.
What it's a real place.
This is an example of how I thought you were doing a bit when you weren't.
I put pictures up. We made snowmen. We went up and found snow because it's February and there's snow on the mountains in LA. And so we're trying to find parking, and we kept pulling up to the side and be like, "Are you leaving or going or coming?" And they'd be like, "We're coming. We just got here. Leave us alone." And so
don't talk to me.
Yeah. So we eventually are like, "Are you parking or taking off?"
It's snowing, but it's not Christmas. I don't be nice to you, stranger.
I hate you. It's even past Valentine's Day now. Go away. So we pull up, and there's a sheriff there, and it looks like they're about ready to close the road because it's a dead end. It gets up to the top of the mountain, and then it stops. So they can only allow so many people in. So he's sitting in the middle of the road, and Kat goes, "You should ask this guy for his parking space." So without thinking, I just turn and leave my head out the window. Are you staying here, or are you going to take off? And he glared at me. I was like, okay, great. We'll just keep going. He didn't let me park.
Why is it that, I don't know. I have so many, I have this new thing that I like to do when people say, "Have a nice day," as like a thing.
Yes.
Here's what I like to do. I like to take people in their routine, and I like to throw a curveball at them just to snap them out of it, just to see what they do.
Yeah.
So my new thing is people say, "Have a nice day." I say, "You have a better one."
Right.
But immediately, I like the idea of suggesting that they have an even better day than mine. Here's an example of how it doesn't work is that I say it to the minimum wage worker who I'm going to say 88% are not happy with where they are.
Where'd you get that number?
It's a statistic.
Oh,
Google
got it. Okay.
88% of minimum wage workers wish that they would raise minimum wage, because they want to make more money. But I'm like, you'd still be a minimum wage worker.
It's the same thing. I think you'd want more.
Exactly.
Get a raise or a better job.
Every time I say it, like, I like it, and then I immediately am followed with guilt, like, I hope that didn't come across as being like an attack.
No,
like,
I don't think they're thinking.
Am I rubbing their face?
Most of the people that are making minimum wage are in high school anyway.
Exactly.
And you're an old guy.
That's true. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I have two stories real quick about that very subject. First, I'm going to go back to the minimum wage worker and how my humor was wasted on that.
Oh, this
the guy
is
gave me, I did one of the oldest bits in the world where the guy gave me a credit card slip, and he goes, "I just need your signature on this." I think he actually used the word autograph, actually. Like, but he's doing like minimum wage teenage banter of customer service or whatever.
A few things he's picked up.
Yeah. And so he goes, "I need your autograph on this." And he's like, he's overachiever.
Is this at Starbucks?
No, Burger King.
Oh, even worse.
He's overachiever at Burger King. So he's flipping burgers. He's bringing fries. He's doing the whole thing. I didn't mean to make that sound condescending. I'm sure it's hard work.
He made it your way.
Damn it. So I said, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, good.
That's not that bad. I sign it, and then I give it to him, and then he goes, "Oh, no, it's not. My signature's way worse than this." Like, he commented on my sloppy handwriting. And I go, "Oh, okay, good." And then Natalie wasted no time. As soon as the man closed the window or whatever, she's like, "He didn't get your joke."
Thanks, Nat. That's awesome.
And then recently, I just came back from doing a Valentine's show in Atascadero, which for people listening to this is 2 weeks ago.
Wait, when does this come out?
This one comes out, I don't know the date off the top of my head.
Is it this Friday?
26? No.
Oh, what comes out this Friday?
This, what people just heard was the episode that I did with LPA with Rick D'Amato.
Why do you keep doing shows without me? How was it?
Because these are during the day and you have a job and I don't.
I could take it off.
Really?
This is very important.
You would
want
to go down to Irvine to sit in a conference room and interview?
I think you need to make a third podcast called Stuff I Do Without Kevin.
I would, except for it wouldn't warrant the $5 a month I'd have to pay for the fee.
I'll give you the $5 just to get your crap off my podcast. you want to do more, please let me contribute.
All right. I just came up with a new name, Justin Worsham's Comedy Podcast. We're going OG.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. Oh, crap.
So anyway, I come back from this show, or I'm at this show, and the lady who puts it on, very wonderful chick, can't remember her name. No, I'm kidding. I think it was Lizette Mizzuto. I know the Lizette part. But anyway, she has these kids, and two of them are teenage girls, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and
is she Cuban by any chance?
No.
I went to high school with a girl named Lisette Saavedra, and I cannot find her.
No.
She fell off the face of the planet.
She probably graduated 10 years before you, is what I'm guessing would be her
age. This one,
bracket.
Your Lisette?
Yeah, my Lisette.
Oh, with
so,
a Z. Sorry.
I can't, yeah, exactly.
Like Madison.
Yes. I can't remember what got me onto this. We were talking about teenagers, I think, not getting, oh, because I'm old. That's what it is. This girl, like, I've recently been in a phase where I feel like I catch the animal mind in my head wants to look at a young lady that I see walking
like 18
by.
Or like 28?
I don't know. That's the dilemma. Yeah. I go, oh, that's a pretty young lady. And then I go, wait a minute.
She could be 14.
Yeah. She could. Is she driving a car? No. She's walking on the street. She's living in Los Angeles. She could be taking a bus. You don't know what she does. She's an actress. You know what I mean?
It's true. She could be poor.
Yeah, exactly.
They do a lot of surgery these days. She
exactly.
Could be.
She could have been premature, which means she could have played younger. You know what I'm saying?
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Did I tell you that story?
No.
Oh. We need to have less guests.
Spend more time together.
But I mean, we have to. Everything has to be sifted now. We can't really talk to each other.
It's weird. I've noticed when we're on the phone, we just sort of sit in silence, communicating maps and things like.
It's all
where
basic.
Are you? Got it.
Yeah.
I'm eating yogurt. Sifta.
Bare essentials. Bare essentials. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Which is funny.
Sifta. I went to Mount Baldy. Save it for the air.
So this chick that I'm talking to, like, she's very beautiful, but I was obvious. I was like, you're a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now looking back, like I did
was
this.
It Taylor Swift?
Yeah. I don't know. Could have been.
Could have been.
Probably not. So anyway, I did this bit where they wanted to take pictures. All of her kids and her wanted to take pictures with all the comedians that were on the show and everything. So
was this a Nickelodeon event?
Exactly. We posed on stage, and I'm standing next to the girl, and like she's doing like this. I see her in my peripheral doing like this weird thing with her mouth, and it's like every picture has a reset where she's like. Like, it looks like out of the corner of my eye, like a kissy face. But here's the thing. The kid is doing it as a bit. Like, the kid's mom is a comedian, or comedian. So she knows. That's what they have to be called now. So she knows what's up. But the photographer makes some kind of comment. He's like, this one over here is acting like an adult or something like that. So then I do a picture where I'm pretending to be enamored with her or something. And then I made, I'm sure that we both have had these, all the people have had these situations where you kind of have like diarrhea of the mouth where you say something that you didn't mean to say and you wish you could take it back right away. I was doing the thing where I'm like, I'm looking at her like panting and like then I'm trying to sniff her hair like creepily in a couple of pictures. And then I go, okay, now do one with her ID so we get the bit.
And so, well, that's not so bad. That's like, right. That
well,
actually
I thought
kind
it was super creepy.
It.
I thought I was like, oh, I'm doing this bit. And then
I think that if anyway, you points you're saying, hey, everybody, I was just kidding. Just so we all know, everything I just did was a joke. Unlike the time that we went to that club and you started honestly hitting on that 12-year-old in the audience.
I was not hitting on her.
Yes, you were.
I was asking her to be friends on MySpace. There's a big difference.
But you kept commenting about how socially inappropriate it was.
I didn't comment.
Suggesting.
I asked. Here's what happened. Back when Justin was doing shitty shows, which Justin's done a couple recently, actually.
This is the one with the infamous watch story.
Yes. I was down in Costa Mesa doing this show, and I was at a steakhouse, and this horrible.
Very expensive steakhouse.
Yes. And there was no crowd. Everybody was there to have dinner, except for the people that came to see me.
All five of us.
Exactly. So there was this young girl who was there, and I think I was hosting. Wasn't I hosting?
So
other guys were dirty, like, during the show.
And then they did a terrible improv thing afterwards.
Yeah, it was horrible. So anyway, I decided to have... This girl was the only one who would, like, connect with me. So I'm like, oh, I'll have banter with her. It'll be funny. And
I love Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
She loves pink socks.
And she was, if I remember correctly, she was funny. Like, she had quippy comebacks. Like, we had a
she
nice rapport.
She was like the girl from Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
She had that kind of... She had glasses like her, long black hair. She would say...
No, she was blonde.
Was she? She
I would only hit on a blonde.
Oh, well, that's, at least you're consistent.
But see, so anyway, she... So anyway, we're having this report, and at one point I say, man, I'm a big fan of you. I like you. We should be friends on MySpace.
And then this is how old this was.
Yeah. And I go, is that inappropriate for a grown-ass man to be friends with a 12-year-old on MySpace? And then she said, a little bit. I was like, really? Because I just want to be friends. Like, I'm not going to hit on you. I'm not going to try and, like, find out when your parents are out of town and see if I can come over. Like,
that's right. I remember this. You started saying the things that you weren't going to do in heavy, bold, underline italics.
Because I thought that would be funny if I started, like, all of a sudden I'm hyper aware of what I could do if I were this creepazoid. And so that's how that story happened. And I thought everything was on the up and up because I thought it was funny, unlike this situation where I'm hypersensitive about the idea of going, no, take a picture with her ID so we know she's underage.
It'll Why was that so bad, though? I don't understand. What was the general reaction to it, though?
Nothing. There was not. It was because here's what happened. It fell out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, like, because I literally had probably at this point the set of my life.
Oh, really?
It was 25 minutes long. It was supposed to be 20 minutes, but I misjudged the time because three times during my 20-minute set, I had to stop for huge applause breaks. Mm. It was like, it was like being at a concert.
That's awesome.
And I talked to
how many people in the audience? Like six?
There were three.
Yeah!
100.
I'm clapping a lot!
And yes, they were amplified. So that it, and then they did like a reverb effect.
Yeah, it was good.
I would say probably close to 300, 400, maybe more. It was like in a hall, and it was a Valentine's show. Like, Darren took me with him to do this gig, and on the way back, we were talking about it, that it's like, that's my sweet spot. You know, it's like, I'm going to go up there in front of a bunch of couples and single people. There was an older crowd, a wealthy crowd that was all married and everything. So all the relationship stuff was just hitting out of the park. And literally, like, I would stop to let the laugh happen. And because I was waiting for the laugh, people started clapping. Like, there were moments where I had to wait a good 10 seconds for people to clap. And then there were moments where they were laughing. And I could hear people. Like, it was such an amazing feeling. Like, oh, that sounds like I'm bragging. But I'm being honest. No, so I guess I'm really arrogant.
You're pretty cool.
Maybe you're right about that narcissist thing. But so I'm sitting there, and like, I could hear people labored breathing while they're laughing near me. And so I kind of told myself, because sometimes I'll just speed through stuff. Yeah. And I go, okay, slow it down. And then sure enough, as soon as I slowed it down, like, people would laugh and then they would die out. And then I would start to go in and people would start clapping after that. At one point, Darren told me he was outside in the lobby with the chick that was hosting it. And 9 minutes in, I get this huge applause break. And she's like, is he done? He knows he's supposed to. Oh, my gosh. She's like, no. He goes, no. Everybody just likes him. And they open the door. And sure enough, I was getting this huge applause break. And then it happened two other times after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I was just, we were watching your Showtime set. And I was marveling at how you paused. You did this really long pause where you kind of thought about what to say next. And you kind of do this thing on your face. Mm-hmm. And you probably waited 4 seconds, maybe 3 or 4 seconds of silence. And I thought, he showed a lot of confidence, a lot of control there. And I think it's because you were terrified and trying to remember what to say next.
No, what it was is I got the light and I was trying to decide what I could fit in the time because I wasn't expecting to get the laughs that I was. Here's the problem that I have with the Showtime appearance is that they sweetened it. Like, if you go back and listen to it, you can hear fake laughs.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't need fake laughs. I really don't. I think I did a great job.
Like, I think you did an amazing job.
Yeah, you were in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part got edited out.
Really?
Where we made eye contact and you broke.
Right. And I broke. And that's what I mean. Like, I was so angry because you hear these, like, horrible, like, single
yeah,
like, laughs in the middle of it. And I was like, really? I did.
Sometimes you can hear Cecilia and Teresa, though.
There's
very specific times where I can hear them laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So that was my issue. And so there was a moment when I got the light and I was like, oh, crap, how much time do I have? Because I wasn't expecting to get that significant of a laugh at that moment in time. But
I think the biggest laugh I ever got was when we did we were doing comedy sports for 3,000 people. And we played a game of Madrigal. And we did that. I mean, it's the stupidest, silliest game on the planet. There's actually no improv involved.
It's like a choir where you're singing.
Somebody points at different people and you're going, ho, 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 ho. And it's emotion. So somebody's angry. They're like, rrr, and somebody else is sexy. And they're like, ooh. And then it's all kind of musical. Yeah. And man, 3,000 people going, yeah. At the end of that, I was like, this is the coolest experience of my life. And everybody, and they're like, okay, stick around for the show. And I'm thinking, man, we're going to do a show for 3,000 people. And about 2,850 of them leave. maybe a 900.
Where did they go? What do they have to
do? There was something. It was like a dinner and a room, and then there was a convention happening. So one of the things in the festival was this show that you could sit in. Like, then they turn on the lights in the auditorium, and people are sitting way up close. Yeah. And like, oh, now it's just a show with 60 people.
now it's a regular show.
I don't care. I was so stoked for 3,000. Although the biggest audience I've ever had was when we did the Disney Channel event at the Dodger Stadium, when we did it for 8,000 kids. No, that's less than 30,000. How many? But that was hard. They invited...
Wait, the first time you said 3,000.
Did I say 3,000?
You meant 30,000.
No, it was probably 3,000.
Okay, so the second time was 8,000.
Invited 27,000 kids to Dodger Stadium because the seat's like, what, 50,000?
What did they do with that? Is that an Evite situation?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, in Disney's Infinite Wisdom, this is an Imagineer thing. It's this synergy that getting kids to be creative. They had opened up a community creative center at the local YMCA in Watts, California, down by Compton, city of Compton.
That's where creative kids are born.
That's what I've noticed.
And I mean, let's just go through a quick list. First off the top of my head, Eazy-E.
Very creative.
Right? Businessman. He was invited to the White House inappropriately because he
Kanye
gave
West,
money.
Also, not from there.
Did you see that about that Eazy-E thing?
No.
I saw recently, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I saw this VH1 like back in the, like, you know, let's talk to you about Eazy-E. No. I don't know why he had an ES in front of his name. He was he's also part Spanish. He gave this huge donation to like a children's program, and because of it, he was like put on an automatic list to get invited to the White House to meet Ronald Reagan. I think it was at the time or something, or maybe it was the first George Bush.
Right.
And so he would like, so this, it was for like this big Republican party. And I guess they assumed because the charity was associated with the Republican party. So like you get all these guys, rich dudes coming in there, and then Eazy-E with his Oakland Raiders hat.
Nice.
And his NWA black jacket.
Nice.
It rolls into the White House.
Like, glad to have you.
And he got
here.
A crap load of publicity for it because they had all these pictures of him walking in and stuff.
That wasn't when he was really harsh. Somebody was really harsh on the administration. Or that was the second Bush. And he started saying something. The whole room's like, okay. All right.
I think you're thinking of Kanye West when they were doing a benefit for Katrina victims.
Wow, he
and
can't
he said,
do
and
right.
Mike Myers was standing next to him.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he goes, and he did his little line, like back and forth, and it was a live event. It was like I think some form of a telethon
job,
or something like that. And so it was a live event, and he did his little banter. He's supposed to say, and then at the end, he goes, "And George Bush hates black people."
Oh my gosh! No,
and
this wasn't
you could
that.
See,
this
you could see
else.
Mike Myers' asshole pucker, like it's just like. Oh! What do I do? And then they cut away. And what's funny is that you could tell there was enough shock that there was enough of a brief pause.
Right.
Before, and then everybody's like, wait, we got to get away from this. Like, why are we still there? Like,
Obama, not yet president, is going, that guy's a jackass. So we were in Dodger Stadium, and they invited 27,000 kids and 27 regular kids to Dodger Stadium. But they chose, and it was supposed to be this like massive event where all the kids in LA could come and watch the show and then watch the game afterwards because we performed on the field.
Uh-huh.
And they invited everybody during state mandatory testing. So instead of getting the 27,000 tickets that they gave away to this game, this day game, they got 5,000 from a lot of the private schools and schools outside the district that weren't doing the testing that week.
Imagineer that.
Exactly. Like, Disney, don't you think you should have checked with the schools you were inviting before you... No, we choose. They'll be here.
In fairness to them, Disneyland is the place that you go when you ditch school.
I know,
I do. If you live in Southern California, you ditch school. Or, you know what? That's the family trip. You get taken out, you do
it's
a little
true.
Independent study.
We did Vegas. Now, Jason Murphy was on
your
this.
Your parents pulled you out of class? Uh-huh. So
it was a junior high school. I think it was for my mom's 50th birthday. And it was the first week because her birthday was September 9th. So it's the first week of school. And the first week, I went to school on the first day. And then I was like, I'm not going to be here Friday or Monday because it's my mom's birthday and we're going to Vegas. We got on a plane, flew to Vegas. There ain't nothing to do. And back then, it was trying to be like the family town. It was before this whole when they were opening theme parks.
City.
Yeah. They went back to. They figured it out, and that's what this whole what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas thing is all about. But they had opened the MGM Grand and the Luxor, and there was Circus with the theme park inside. And so
was
they
Star Trek the Experience kind of part
not
of that
yet,
too?
Not oh, yet. Okay. That didn't come out until 98.
But that was also a part of that whole like family fun.
That
Vegas
might
thing.
Be. It seemed like that was that would be late in the game. I think they started over correct. But like the Stratosphere became the whatever, or it was Vegas World and became Stratosphere. It was all during that turn, that mid 90s turn. The Excalibur had just been built, so all this stuff. And we went. My brother played video games. They would just give us money because they were spending money on slot machines. So they would just hand us.
So there's no chance
bucks.
They go out of there up. No chance. Any money they win, no. they're giving to you guys.
Yeah,
to go
just
to the arcade.
Give it to have a good time. So they know, and we could do whatever. My brother took his money and just blew it on the arcade. And me, being the smart guy that I am, I'm like, it's $12 to go in this theme park to ride all the rides I want at Circus Circus. I'm gonna do that, and I pocketed the rest of that money. And my dad was like, you should probably get that money back if you're not going to spend it on arcades and stuff. My mom's like, just let him keep it. I'd go home. My brother would have nothing. I'd have, like, rolls of quarters. I'd be like, I'm going out. I'm going to go buy this game. Rolls of quarters.
You go home and you're making it rain in front of your brother. Like, look at me.
Exactly. Oh, my eye. So great. So great. I was going to say, Jason Murphy was on the show, right? You had Jason Murphy and Gina
yes.
Rubino. Yeah.
He's a listener.
Yeah, he's a listener?
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to share this. Story, because we were in Watts and we were doing when we were doing the Disney Channel show in Watts when they debuted this this creative room, we were playing a game similar to that Magical thing. Only I was running it from the stage and having the audience do it. So I'd say this section over here, we're gonna do a symphony. You guys are gonna be different animals and be it's Barnyard Symphony. You guys are gonna be pigs. Everybody makes the sound of the pig. Oink, 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 oink. So when I raise my hand, you're the oink the pig section, and over here you're the dog section and everything. We had different animals like that, and I'm like, oh, and so
this smells of Bob Brandenburg.
But I think it was my idea, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because it was Barnyard Symphony. I just took it from Comedy Sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Jeff Kramer. we're in there. We're like, how about some new animals? It was before the show. Thank the Lord in heaven. We're just in the room by ourselves. And Jason's like, well, how about monkeys? They make a great noise. And I go, you want me to ask a room full of black kids to make the sound of a monkey?
Now, here's the thing about that, though. That to me creates a sense of implied racism, no matter how you look at
here's
it, right?
What it would
that's
look
a lose-lose.
Like okay, exactly, because here's the thing. Had Disney Channel showed up and they wanted to film this and do cutaways to make bumpers, which is what they did with a lot of the material we were doing,
yeah.
It would look like this. Like they'd have the camera on me and be like, all right, this section over here, you guys are going to sound like monkeys over here. And the camera would pan to 310-year-olds going... And in the back of the room would be all the parents and PTAs with their arms crossed and eyes wide staring at me.
And
next to them would be the Disney Channel people with a pile of crap between their legs going, oh my God in heaven. That's the picture I got.
Then they would splice in a cut from the show of Panorama City where you'd be like, make the noise of a burrow. And it'd be all these kids. All these Latino kids going, yaw, yaw.
Needless to say, we kept it
come
to pigs
along,
and dogs.
Draw.
We just stayed with pigs and dogs.
And then, unfortunately, it was the cops convention, and all the pigs were on one side. They were like, not funny, guys.
Maybe it
not
wasn't
funny.
Pigs.
What? Here, we need to come up with a racially ambiguous, because like a dog is an ugly woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like a cat is a bitchy woman.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
No preach offense it. To your girlfriend.
Just so we're all clear, that's her name. Bitchy woman. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Is she doing the hips thing? Is
yeah,
that what she's doing?
Said, yeah. They've been bathing the baby for a half hour. They come out at the moment.
I got a knack for this crap. That's what I do. I destroy relationships.
I'm sorry, bitchy woman.
Love you so much, bitchy woman.
B-dub.
So the pig is for the cops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monkeys would cover.
How did they get that name? How did the pigs get that name?
Know. Shut it down.
I stumped us both.
Shut it down.
I was like, where do they oink oink?
Well,
pigs?
Let's see. Let's see if something on the internet. I'm trying to think of other animals.
Bacon, fry, pig. Is it because they wallow in mud? Are they very? They're very smart creatures. They don't sweat. Pigs don't
maybe,
sweat. They live in a farm.
Maybe they were known for
Because they root around and stuff that they don't. That's the only thing, they, right?
Like they eat everything? They what do you mean root around?
They, like a pig just will go through trash and stuff looking for trouble.
I thought you were doing a joke of like perfectly describing a pig. Like they root around. They like to wallow in mud.
I was trying to think.
They don't. They lack the ability.
No, I was talking about pigs, not the cops. Cops wear badges and they go to headquarters and they carry guns. How do pigs carry guns?
Here's a website called straightdope.com.
Oh, I'm in love with this site.
This is for all the kids that were at the match. I'm sorry. Why are the police called cops, pigs, or the fuzz?
Oh, why the fuzz? Yeah.
Dear Straight Dope, could you tell me more about the words fuzz, pigs, and cops and how they pertain to police? Mike Paprosky,
he
sounds like a cop.
Yeah, probably.
And then it does sound like a kid though writing that question. Anyway, yeah. Etymology is rarely an exact science. Words or phrases spring up, become popular, and eventually may find their way into print. The process takes time, and it's usually difficult or impossible to track backwards to discover where a particular word,
fascinating,
or phrase arose. How about you get to the frickin' question?
But I find that fascinating because you would think that even today, where we keep everything is. Like, I can blog tonight about what I ate in Chinatown. And
we're doing it right now.
Exactly.
This is an audio blog, I guess, yeah.
Blog, blah, 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 blah.
Thanks for helping.
See, that's going
to
be weird.
Now we have to buy out from Nickelodeon.
You're going to be like, blog, blah, 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 blah.
Welcome to Second Funniest Podcast Elodian, where we blind kids. I don't know what that means.
Well, we play the mace game.
Let's start with cop.
Okay.
Cop, the noun, is almost certainly a shortening of copper.
Yeah, well, that one we know.
Which in turn derives from cop, the verb.
No, it's because the badges were made of copper back in the day, so they were coppers.
The badges, you should have said the badges were made of copper.
What did I say?
You said the badges were made of cop.
Like
dead police.
I was
Listen, Ice-T, simmer down, all right? We're going to have a cop on this show soon.
Really?
Yeah. The London police were called Bobbies after Sir Robert Peel, who advocated the creation of the Metropolitan Police Force in 1828. Wow, this guy's going back. He's like not messing around. Copper as slang for policemen is first found in... Are you falling asleep?
I'm just making that sound for totally different reasons.
Okay, good. Because it sounds like you're bored. Found in print in 1846. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the most likely explanation...
Nothing is more exciting than
Oxford. He's ramping up. Here it comes. Yeah. The most likely explanation is that it comes from the verb to cop, meaning to seize, capture, or snatch. Snatch. Dating from just over a century earlier, 1704.
Get to the fuzz.
I'm working on it. The derivation of the verb is unclear. Most authorities...
The authorities on
so
the English
So the cops
language.
Wrote this?
No, the authorities on the English language.
He's not even talking about the word authority.
I'm going to get a glass of water.
All right, good. Take your time. Let's scroll. I'm scrolling down. Evan Morris, the word detective, says, where in the world are you hearing people refer to police as fuzz? I have never heard a real person use it unless you want to count Jack Webb on the old Dragnet.
I was going
to
say they're called the fuzz all the time.
When I was growing up in the 1960s, we called police officers many things, but mostly we just called them cops, and we never called them the fuzz. As a matter of fact, anybody, why would he be the guy that you quote on this? He's like, he's angry at your whole question. I hate this.
Yeah, move on. Find out. Wait, I don't believe in his sources.
This is also kind of fun for me a little bit.
Is it fun for the listener, though?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
There are several theories. I think that we answer questions that people don't need to know.
That's true. How many listeners do we have?
A lot. Okay. We're almost up to...
Do they call in? Do we ever get any radio?
They're not very active listeners, but they are
climbing.
Well,
they're just listeners. They're not talkers.
There are several theories about the origin of fuzz. Oh, Jacob wants to come and be on the show.
No, not this year.
American Tramp and Underworld Slang, published in 1931, suggests
that... Oh, I want that book. That's awesome.
Fuzz was derived from fuss, meaning that the cops were fussy over trifles. let's see if
I'm
I can
learning
find...
so much.
Are you serious? Oh, here we go. Evan Morris, fuzz or fuzzy, how better to insult police after all? Okay. Evan Morris suggests the word arose as a term of contempt for police based on the use of fuzz or fuzzy and other items of derogatory criminal slang of the period. To be fuzzy was to be unmanly, incompetent, and soft. How better to insult the police after all than to mock them as ineffectual? Oh,
that's good.
That explanation seems as good as any and better than most. Really? Can you just say that? that about anything? I guess we call ourselves...
2 + 2 = 4. That explanation sounds better than many and good as most.
We call ourselves the second funniest podcast. That's as about as... If you thought the good. Term pig arose in the 1960s, you're in for a surprise.
Oh.
Damn it. Wow. This guy, he takes a lot. He makes a lot of assumptions about his...
You know, I assumed that I was a pig. And I'm in for a surprise. I also assumed that I would be a rock star by now and living on a space station orbiting the moon.
When was this assumption established?
I was about 6.
Okay.
I also thought I'd have a lunchbox robot.
For your record, I don't know if this is something you covered in your relationships weekend, but she just held up 5 is what she did. Cat just went, 5, as she was walking behind you. Let's see. The OED cites an 1811 reference to a pig as a Bow Street Runner, the early police force named after the location of their headquarters before Sir Robert Peel and the Metropolitan Police Force. See above. Before that, the term pig had been used as early as the mid 1500s to refer to a person who was heartily disliked.
Okay. Oh, what?
Yeah.
No.
So I find it hard to believe that the hoodlums of Compton and their rap songs are calling them pigs because of something established in the mid-1500s.
Well, I mean, we definitely... Pig still has that connotation now, even not attached to cops. You're such a pig, meaning you're sloppy, you're lazy, you're a slouch. So I get it, but I don't see how that got married to police officers in the 1960s.
This is great. The usage was probably confined to the criminal classes until the 1960s when it was taken up by the protesters. False explanations for the term involved the gas masks worn by the riot police in that era or the pigs in charge of George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Why are those false explanations?
I don't know, but that's what I mean. He doesn't go into it, but this is my favorite sentence of this whole thing. While police officers usually don't mind being called cops, they are not usually fond of the term pig. Really? I think I can figure that one out without Googling
Thank you. Thank you, guy. Yeah, because a cop, it's like how kids call themselves kids. Cops call themselves cop. Why is this so hard to say? This sentence sounded much easier in my brain.
A policeman's lot is an appy one.
What does that mean? It's an accent. A policeman's lot is an appy one.
Oh, because of the... Okay.
Yeah, by the way, apostrophe A, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, the French call their police gendarmes or gendarmes. G-E-N-D-A-R-M-E-S, which came from gens d'armée, people with weaponry, which ranked just below knight in medieval armies. The English equivalent would be esquire, perhaps. Why would they write that? No. Somehow, I don't think calling the police squires will catch on here. Thank you, Dex, from straightdope.com. Asshole.
Do you think that the Maquis thought Starfleet were pigs? I would think during that whole conflict with the Cardassian Empire.
Speaking of which, how is your Star Trek Online universe?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked.
Well, with a soft lob like that, listen, really, I may not know when you're kidding or not, but I could definitely pick up what you put down.
That's true. You're smelling what I'm rolling over?
I'm sipping what you're pouring.
That's the best one yet.
Yeah, this is an oldie but a goodie bit between us.
I love it. No, I was just thinking how we hadn't talked about anything nerdy yet, and I was thinking Joseph Bears would probably too sober during this podcast.
It's like, I'm trying to run at the gym and get drunk at the same time.
Which, by the way, Joey, bad combination.
Really?
Gotta be honest
with you.
Not with
that guy. You see the way he can pound back those beers?
Yeah. Well, the time we sat on the podcast, I drank a bottle of wine.
He has that influence on people.
I don't know how he got me to do it. It got to the point where I wasn't drunk. I just felt bad. I was like, this is a lot of wine I'm having.
I think I've talked about it on the show, but Joseph Mayers also treats beer like it is wine.
He's
a connoisseur of that.
Well,
and here's the thing in my mind, because I like to make things funny, is that I think, like, we went to a barbecue place and he goes, you want a beer? I'm like, yeah, but I don't really like beer. He goes, I know what to get you.
Wow.
And I think,
was he right?
I think he uses like some kind of Jedi mind trick, and he just says, I know what you want. And through his bravado and his beer awareness, he provides a beer that you think when you drink it, you're like, I do love this because I should. This is a beer that was made for me. That's what he has the ability to create.
On Halloween this past year, I was hanging out with Rod Hassler, and we went to Cap'n Cork over in Hollywood, or I guess it's Flos Feliz, and he picked out a beer that was like a 40, and it cost him $28 for this 140 of beer. Yeah, expensive beer. But he was stoked for it, and I was like, okay. So I bought a bottle of sake for 10 $10 less and drink that all night long. And he had, and he gave me like half a glass of this beer, and it was the beer you thought beer tasted like when you were a child. Like the magic and mystery of this thing, this delicious thing that only adults can have with so much flavor and mystery and amazing wonderment. That's what this beer that he gave me tasted like.
I feel like that's what butter beer tastes like. Is that on Harry Potter?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's that sort
when
of
I
like,
hear the word butter beer, I'm like, that's when I was a kid when I thought beer would taste
right,
like. That's a good choice.
I think it's supposed to be like root beer, but it's got a little bit of beer in it, the or real alcohol in the stories, because they talk about he gets a little buzzed.
Really?
Off the butterbeer. Yeah, yeah. But same thing in Harry Potter when they talk about crystallized pineapple. I'm like, I want a crystallized pineapple. That sounds fantastic. It doesn't exist. But do you remember Fraggles? How the Fraggles would make... The dozers would make buildings and the Fraggles would eat them?
Yeah, why would we watch assholes with their crazy hairdos and they would ruin the construction?
But they loved it. Would talk about how they loved to build buildings, and the one dozer that didn't like it was like an outcast. But you have to love to build. You don't remember this?
But why was it that they could just come over there and eat the buildings?
They did.
So I guess the idea would be like ants. The idea would be like ants love to go scourge food and create tunnels. You know what I mean? So it's like, by you eating the building, that means we get to build more.
It was crazy 80s talk. Well, when I was a kid, when they watched it, it was supposed to be something so delicious. And so I thought, well, what's something that I would want to eat a ton of? And I think the average kid would think it was sugar because they were white, kind of crystally things. And the Fraggles love to eat it. I decided
here we go
that it tasted like hot mustard on a pretzel. So to this day, when I think about the dozers making those buildings for the Fraggles, which I think of daily, I think
believe you.
Hot mustard pretzel.
There's no better way to ruin a pretzel.
Hot mustard?
Yes.
People put hot mustard on pretzels.
I know, and they're wrong.
Oh, I love it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I get hot mustard.
I find this hard to believe when you're 8 years old and imagining sugar that to the rest of the world tastes like hot mustard on a pretzel.
Oh, yeah, it's good. In fact, I think I'm going to
By hot mustard, you mean spicy mustard, not like...
No, both. Spicy and
heated.
Warmed up. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, we used to have it. We'd heat up the... It was like a microwave thing. Back when microwaves were brand new, and we had one that was the size of this table.
Right.
It had four wheels and all-terrain wheel drive.
I really don't think microwaves were invented when you and I were kids.
Oh, yeah.
They were?
Oh, sure. Google that action. I remember when we got... Same thing with the VHS. I remember our first microwave.
Well, that I believe, but the...
Well, I guess the commercial, like the home microwave was probably... I think a microwave oven existed industrial for maybe late 60s, early 70s. But the microwave oven wasn't in the house until the 80s.
Let's see here. If this internet would be so much better if it were concise, because this is how it starts off. This is from... Galawa.com. Oh, here he comes with his droid. Like many of today's great inventions, the microwave oven was a byproduct of another technology, which was during a radar-related research project around 1946 that Dr. Percy Spencer, a self-taught engineer with the Raytheon Corporation, noticed something very unusual. He was testing a new vacuum tube called a magnetron.
We were
searching for a picture of an actual 1946 magnetron.
46, damn.
When he discovered that the candy bar in his pocket had melted, this intrigued Dr. Spencer, so he tried another experiment.
He was inside a microwave.
So this, what we've learned is that it's okay for puppies and kittens.
See,
don't worry,
kids survived.
Don't worry.
Who knows what the wattage is, right? Because it's like 1,300
enough
watts.
Enough to melt a candy bar.
Well, who knows how long he was standing by it? How did he not feel warm?
Oh, wait. It says here, unfortunately, Dr. Spencer was killed during a second experiment when cooked from the inside out.
No, that's a lie.
No, it had a Dr. Spencer button on the magnetron, and it was the proper temperature and time to cook him.
What are you saying? What?
That's not true. This is true, though.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
That was incredibly good.
Yeah. This time, he placed some popcorn kernels near the tube, and perhaps standing a little further away, perhaps. Wow, he's a doctor, you jackasses. Of course he stood further away. He watched with an intent... I hate people on the internet today. I don't know why. But they're giving all this color. Like, they refuse to give you facts, but then they add all this stupid color.
Yeah.
Because he says,
well, that's what the internet's good for.
He watched with an intentive sparkle in his eye. So, but we don't know how far he stood away, but we know that he had a sparkle in his eye.
We don't know the condition, what he was wearing to protect himself or any of that. But
as the popcorn sputtered, cracked, and he probably used aluminum foil. That's the second experiment. He learned to put metal in a magnetron.
There was a button on it.
Dr. Jackass.
With his proper weight and size, and he cooked from the inside. Seriously, this is top three funniest things you've ever said.
Thank you. A bit of trivia. This is, I skipped ahead to a bit of trivia because I saw the word weenie. The Speedy Weenie Project. In the spring of 1946, Piercy Spencer, an associate PR Hansen, Rolly Hansen, were working on a secret project they called the Speedy Weenie. Muriel Withrow remembers the project well. She recalls the Speedy Weenie Project was the nickname Mr. Spencer and my boss, Rolly Hansen, gave to their secret project, the microwave oven. Speedy Weenie, meaning a quick hot dog, our thanks to Mrs. Withrow for sharing this little-known detail.
Wow, that sounds... I don't think your sources are accurate, because I found another site called ideafinder.com, and it says that microwave ovens were invented by Percy Spencer in 1945, and the first microwave was sold by Raytheon. The first Raytheon commercial microwave oven was the 1161 Rata range, which was marketed in 1954, rated at 1600 watts. That's more than the average microwave now.
That's, you just read, except for the last part, which is by here, you just read the same exact thing that I just said.
Did you? Did
I? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it right here. Dr. Percy Spencer, a self-taught engineer with the Raytheon Corporation.
Yeah. And then, in 1967, a division of Raytheon invented the Teeny Weenie, which I wish I'd been paying attention more so I could reiterate whatever
Speedy
you said.
Speedy Weenie?
The Teeny Weenie that's was a different invention.
That's why it's easy to fool you. by 1975, sales of microwave ovens exceeded that of gas ranges. I know. I feel like the microwave is bad.
I don't understand, because I could have swore my mom was like, awesome, we've got this microwave thing, when we got one in 1983. So I would guess we didn't grow up with
this
microwave.
This is why I wanted to do this, and I'm glad that you said this, because this is one of the most fun things about you, is that you see the world through your eyes.
Don't we all?
No.
Well, whose eyes do you see your world through?
I see the world, I see the world, through my eyes initially, but I also understand that there are other experiences happening around me.
Wait, are you saying that I don't think that I know that other things happen outside of my life?
If you do know, you do a great job of hiding it.
Thank you.
mainly, I mean your childhood.
Wait a minute. Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so,
because here's the thing. Most people that I talk to besides you will look back at their childhood with the eyes of an adult. You look back at it and it's like a travel in time, like in your head. Like you're that linearly going back and you're seeing like you just told the story of you outwitting your parents by going to the theme park to rub it in your brother. You told it like, wasn't that brilliant, like that I did that to totally hurt my brother and crush his feelings?
No, I did that from the perspective of an adult looking back.
No.
Come on.
No.
I still have those rolls of quarters.
Then maybe you just never grew up. Maybe that's really what I'm
saying. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe since you've become a father and a husband and a dog owner.
Not for long.
You've less touch with reality. That's what it is entirely. I think
it doesn't help what you talk about.
I can't deny the fact that when I reminisce about my childhood, that I definitely put myself back in those days. Like, I remember the coolness of trying to help my dad build a swing set, and he beat me for helping him. Things like that I remember that have joy, and he didn't beat me. He just warned me 9 times not to help him touch the swing set parts. And when I honestly asked him, what does this thing do?
Not to help him touch the swing set parts.
We were building the swing set in the backyard, and I kept messing around with him. Like, I'm helping, I'm touching stuff. And he'd be like, okay.
Like,
look.
Obnoxiously helping?
Oh, yeah, I was five.
As a kid trying to
help. It was a 5-year-old playing with the thing that he's trying to build.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, look, the swing set's not done. You can touch it when it's done. Don't touch anything else. And so I sit there, and he goes and looks at something in the yard to see where he's going to put it. He comes back, and I've picked up this one part of the swing set because I didn't understand. I understood what everything else was, but I'm like, what is this? Hey, Dad, what does this do? And all I remember is him coming at me with this look of ferocity. And then, honestly, the memory stops. He just blacks out. Next thing I know, I'm on the swing. It's 3 weeks later.
Really? 3 weeks?
I'm in third grade.
He put you in a coma with his anger.
Might have been 3 years.
You're right. That's not a beating.
Yeah.
That's discipline.
That's normal, right?
That's discipline. 1983 style.
And then he told me that my brothers and sisters were buried in the backyard.
Then our fathers went to the same school.
Or they are the same father. Dun, dun, dun.
Really? We wait a year into the, like, to divulge that?
We're brothers?
Yeah.
Are we not brothers? Okay. Remember that time we went to the mall together?
Don't be but a goodie. I can't let us wrap this thing up without us touching base your Star Trek world.
Thank you for caring. Well, you know, it's fun. I've actually made a really good friend in the Star Trek universe. He goes to my church. His name's David Lockett. He just started working.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You made a really good friend.
No.
With somebody that you go to church with?
Yeah. No, I knew him.
You see on a weekly basis?
Yeah, no, listen.
I'm trying.
I told him about this game that was going to come out like 3 months ago at church. And he's like, oh, it sounds good. I'm on a Mac. Maybe I'll get bootleg. What's it called?
Boot camp.
And it's probably why it's called bootleg.
What's it called? Garage.
Garage.
Do you think every piece of software, it's the I. That's what they put in front of
it. Oh, yeah. I Garage.
There's only one thing, and it's Garage boot. Band. It's everything else is I.
I so Windows.
You
should,
yeah, there you go. There's probably one of those.
No, now it's like me. Everything's mobile me pads.
Oh, that's why I love it. I wish people would stop freaking. If here's the thing,
really,
real
you're
quick.
Not narcissistic. What everybody, are these buttons I'll do over here.
Everybody do. You just ruined the show. You're just way overloaded. I really hope that the compressor works on that one, Joseph Barkley. And if your ears are bleeding, then you should have given us a better. I don't know why I'm blaming him for all audio.
It's not his fault. You want me to touch more knobs?
Nope. I want everybody to tweet this. I want them to Facebook update it. If anybody sees Justin Worsham wearing his white headphones, even if you think I'm not listening to something, that means I don't want to talk to you, jackass. Okay? Stop talking to me. That's all I want to say. Thank you. That's my PSA. Back to Star Trek Universe.
What are you talking about? Okay.
You said something about, how did that get me on to
Yeah,
that?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Something you said made me think of, I don't like it when people talk to me when I'm wearing my headphones or something.
I didn't say that. Anywho, we're at church, and I said, talking about mobile me.
That's what it is. Yeah. Me. It's all about me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that it's about me because I like to be in a corner. Yeah,
for 1 second, I thought I had a small 30-second relapse of memory, and I'm like, what transition?
Did you just see me coming at you with anger?
Yeah, I'm like, then I woke up and I'm in the third grade.
You passed time.
I'm like, oh, this is great.
I did another episode without you, just so you know.
Just pull some more of these knobs here. So I told David, I'm like, hey, this game coming out called Star Trek Online, and so he got iWindows on it, and so we've been spending time together playing the game. He comes over and we hang out. It's been a lot of fun.
Wait, so he comes over to your house?
He's on his laptop, I'm on my laptop, and we hang out, or sometimes he's at home and I'm at home and we sit online and play. We do both. But he'll be in the neighborhood and be like, oh, I'll come over. So we hang out. And so all the nonsense that people say about how games are disconnecting and you don't have real friendships and everything, he and I have formed a really great friendship based on just having this video game between us. So take that, video game haters. That's all I got.
So in the millions of people playing this game, your point of saying that it does bring people together is that you've connected with one person.
That I knew already.
Okay. I love you.
But I love
How's your
game.
Relationship then with your girlfriend since you found this game? Are you able to see her?
Well, we went somewhere today.
Do you remember her name?
That's a joke.
I'm not gonna
dignify that with a response.
Thank you.
So anyway, we were on the ice planet.
Has Kat created a character
and
on this
Doria.
Game?
No, she did, actually.
Yeah?
It took me that long to think of an ice planet in Star Trek. And Doria!
You're the only one frustrated right now.
I'm a little upset with myself. I showed her the People Maker, so she created a little alien. It was named Keita, and it looked like a lizard cheetah. It was pretty cool.
Is she Bajoran?
She was a lizard cheetah. You get to make up your own alien.
Oh.
So you can create you can create a real alien and make up what they look like. Have you seen the stuff?
Yes,
I made Chris
on
Goodrum.
Facebook. I haven't seen Kale Talk.
Yeah, those two were on there.
I only saw Kale Talk. Me is New Talk, which I'm a much bigger fan of Sivek.
I can make a Romulan, but I have to do it by hand.
For those of you who don't know, Kevin and I, because I realized that it could have been a year literally since we talked about this on the show. Kevin and I were Star Trek characters together at Paramount's Great America back in the day. I was a Ferengi for 2 years and then a Romulan for 1 year. And Kevin was a Ferengi for 3 years and a Klingon for 1 day.
Nice! We're married.
I saw where you were going.
One day.
And why was that? It was
because...
You were also a Federation officer one day because you cut yourself shaving.
No, I didn't. Oh, was I? Yeah. I didn't have a Starfleet uniform.
Yeah, you did.
That wasn't me.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Yeah, because you brought one that you had from home.
That was Chris. Second to last day, I got to be a Klingon. I wore his costume. He wore my Starfleet uniform my mom made and had brought some old ears from his ear as a Vulcan. So he got to play Keel Talk one last day.
Because in the last year, they didn't have Vulcans. It was just Klingons and Ferengi.
Yeah, that's funny. Those two most popular
aliens.
Awesome. They looked the best, too. Yeah. The year that they had Bajorans.
Romulans look pretty cool.
But see, they're not that popular. Like, I don't know. People like the Romulans, but they're not Ferengi. They're not Klingons.
The makeup was the best.
Yeah, but the Bajorans, I would think no one would care. Like, why even bother putting a little wrinkle on somebody's nose? If you're not familiar with Star Trek, it's just like eight ridges in between the top of your nose and the bottom of your forehead. Just little bumps there. And how long did it take those guys to put that stuff on?
Less than what it took a Vulcan to slap ears on. Yeah. Well, Vulcans had to cover their face in makeup even. Yeah, like, yeah. You didn't even, as a Bajoran, you just had to slap
it on. It's because on the TV show, they wanted people that looked very human, but were alien enough to recognize that they were something other than human.
So anyway, I was a Romulan named Sevek, and then Newtalk was my Ferengi name, which was a girlfriend that I had at the time. Last name spelled backwards.
Oh.
And you know what's funny?
I
could have sworn I told that. Yeah. No, her Katen.
Kaden.
Siobhan Katen. Oh. I almost say Katen, but Siobhan Katen that I went to. Seriously, this chick, I don't know if she listens. This might be uncomfortable. Well, who cares? This chick, at the time when I was young.
Did she give you umox?
Let me first. Oh, boy, did she. Not really. I gave her more umox than she gave me.
You rubbed her ears.
If she really listens, then that's a little embarrassing.
We're going to have to edit this out.
Nope. Because Natalie's talking to your wife. My wife is talking to Natalie.
What the hell just happened?
I apologize. I'm a little flustered right now.
So you're going to take me down with you?
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry, bro.
She hears that.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll marry her if it'll make you feel better. If she just needs a husband, I'll do it just to get out of this.
She's spending a lot of time with your son, so it's all in the family.
He loves her. He said her name. Have we told that story?
Yes, we told it last week. All right. 2 weeks ago. Korgar rules.
Anyway, so it was so funny because I was probably 16. I just turned 17 when I got this job, and they told me I get to make up my own name, and somebody else had used a name spelled backwards of somebody
of
that they
did.
Knew, like kind of thing. And so I was like, because Todd, a friend of yours, he was a Vulcan. He used your name spelled backwards.
We were not friends. We were friends then.
Yeah, exactly.
We weren't friends then.
Yeah. He's a listener, I should
tell. Is he?
No.
I can't find him on Facebook.
Me neither.
Yeah,
which, that's a whole other story. Anyway, that is not for the air, and I apologize to our listeners.
What's DeSifta?
Off the air. Anyway, so I told this girl that I had the hugest crush on, and this is what was going to get is that there's a strong chance, in my opinion, that I had been dating enough in high school, and I knew I was probably going to end up getting married young. I had that vibe to me that I thought this girl was going to be the one. Like I was like, because she was grounded. She was pretty. She was smart. She had a plan for a life. She was different from any other girlfriend that I had. And
at the tender age of 17.
Natalie, it was a year later when I hooked up with Natalie, and she's the best, perfect. It couldn't have worked out better. But and I'm sure Siobhan is much happier with a nice guy and not stuck with my flabby ass. That's all I think about now when I see pictures of myself. I think Natalie does this on purpose. She finds shirtless pictures of me on Facebook and just posts my fat ass all over the internet so that every girl that I ever went to high school with is like, oh boy, did I dodge a bullet on that one.
Sucker, poor Mrs. Hoffman.
Seriously, he bags a dancer and look at her. She's still sporting a six pack and a tight ass. And then look, he's just getting fatter and hairier as the years go by. I am proof that, that I guess they do care about a sense of humor, but she doesn't think I'm very funny.
Really?
I don't think so. Anyway, so I was way into
Siobhan. She doesn't get it.
This all changed, however, when I was in the mall and I tried to put my hand on her back and she cringed because, and this is stupid, this is where I was dumb. She didn't like public displays of affection.
Well, you're also in high school.
I was a year younger than she was, so it's like she was a senior, I was a junior, she was about to graduate, so I thought she was embarrassed that she was dating this, because I also look super young. Like, it's weird how when I was young, I had this huge baby face, and now I'm 31 and I could easily pass for 37.
Oh,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 37. Yeah.
Maybe 39, is that what you're saying?
Oh, sure.
I hate you.
42.
So, I don't know what got me onto this whole topic, but that's what it was. So, when I got this gig, it was my first paid acting gig. I was like, this is it.
This is, I mean, yeah. How perfect is it? I'm going to dress up as an ugly alien. I thought I was going to win Oscars. Like, when I was 17, I was like, this is how it starts out. Yeah. I got great panel conversations for The Tonight Show. It's got it on lockdown. You know what I mean? So I tell her, I go, and this is how I broke it to her. I go, guess what? As part of, like, our thing with, the, you know, we get to pick our alien name. And she was like, oh, that's cool. And I go, I said, yeah, it's my first, you know, paid acting gig, so it's kind of like a big deal to me. And I decided my alien name's going to be New Talk.
Oh, man.
And she's like,
I don't get
New Talk. Is that from Star Trek? Because I don't watch it really. I mean, yeah. I've seen episodes. Like, she starts to go into that. I was like, no, it's you. She goes, I'm New Talk? And I said, yeah, it's your last name spelled backwards. I mean, I tried to do Siobhan. But that's like Nabios or something like that. Yeah. But New Talk was nice.
Siobhan would have been a good Vulcan name.
Yeah. Well, it was the way she spelled it was Siobhan. So it would have been Nahbois.
You're blowing my mind.
Nahbois.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
That would probably would have been better. Nahbois. Maybe she would have been more impressed because the point of the story is she was not impressed. She was like, this was also when I was very dumb. And didn't know how to treat a lady. Now I know to treat her like crap.
And then she flocks to you.
Exactly.
Like butter on a rhino. That's the expression, right? It's funny because when I made up mine. Isn't that it?
I love how quickly you moved on. That's the expression. It's funny because.
Butter on a rhino. That's the name of our podcast. When I was creating my name, I have to go back and look at the name because I used to journal like that kind of stuff. And I think the name was.
I don't know what's worse. Me expecting my girlfriend to be impressed or you journaling it?
Here's what I did.
Butter on a rhino.
Butter on a rhino. Since I was probably 16, I've kept a journal and I write every day what I did. They're just notes on the day. But somewhere in high school, I decided to start giving them titles, like an episode title. So every day has a title like, you know, Snow Day or Awesome Times or The Fearful Five, stuff like that, depending on where I am in my life. Sometimes they're really bad titles. Sometimes I just steal titles from movies that I saw that day. You know, 30 Rock. I saw that movie. It was great. So
The Rock?
No, it was 30. I watched it 30 times in one day.
Oh, okay.
Had it on six screens at once.
Okay.
So I think the name was something like Corgant or Corcant, which is funny because I know I'm being influenced by Kolgar, but it was something like that. And so I need to go back and look because I have it would creep me out if it was Kolgar or something very, very similar. It was like Kronk or something, which is like Crump, which wouldn't work out so well.
Or it would make you like a foreseer of the future because crumping wasn't happening then.
Yeah, not the 1997.
People were just dancing.
Yeah, they didn't crump it up. So then we were walking out the door and I turned to the side and the word Pong just fell out of my mouth. So I became Pong. And I even knew at the time, I'm like, that's a terrible name. But I fell in love with it. And that was the name I chose and landed with it for 3 years as Pong. And now playing Star Trek Online. Pong lives again.
You are Pong.
I am Pong.
Because that's what my next question was. I wanted to see if you play a chick to try and get free Starfleet stuff.
No, it wouldn't work. A lot of people play guys. Like most people, unlike any other MMORPG, most MROPs, as we've called them, most times people will play women because you can make some sexy woman. Or even when I played Guild Wars, I created Karina North, and it was this beautiful blonde chick. But on this game, I've made this ugly little orange guy. I've made myself. I look around, and most people are playing as men or creepy-looking aliens. But the best part about the game is that you can create other people on your crew, so you build relationships with them. So I have Keel Talk on my crew with me.
What about New Talk?
I haven't made another Ferengi. I've decided not to.
But there's a picture of one on Facebook.
I made it in the creature meter and then just took a picture and put it up online. Yeah.
How about Sub-Commander Sevek? He's a great engineer.
I haven't seen a Romulan, but I think they're going to do expansions where you can be, because right now you can be either a Klingon or a Federation, and I think later you'll be able to be the Borg or the Romulan as well. So when that happens, I'll let you know.
Can't you just make one look like
a Romulan? I probably could. Yeah, I'll just see if there's a forehead.
I don't know why I'm giving you homework.
I mean to do
this
it because David Maddox,
who all is on your crew right now?
I'm up to nine or up to
you have
seven.
A crew of nine?
I have a crew of seven.
Are you the captain?
I start as an ensign and then I've moved up to lieutenant commander. So right now I'm
of your own ship.
On my own ship, the USS.
Hold on,
Africa.
You create a ship, but you got to work. You got to climb the ladder.
Yeah, well, you solve a really big problem in the beginning of the game. The tutorial is
spoiler
the Borg,
alert.
The Borg have invaded, and you save the day. And the admiral's so impressed. He's like, you know what? Stay in command of that ship. And because there's a war going on right now, so you stay there and go do some missions. That's
you know
the premise.
What the sad part about this thing is and we got to wrap this up. But
I have to tell you my crew.
Okay.
All right.
The sad part about this is that I would probably love this game.
Oh, you would love this game.
But I feel like it's more interesting now if I hate it.
Oh, that's fair enough.
This is probably the closest thing to an MROPG that I would love to play.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
The universe is beautiful.
When they make it for a Mac, you give
it's
a brother
on a Mac,
a heads
you just
up.
Get eye flop.
No, you don't understand what that means. Like,
why?
You have to. There's all the software you have to get Windows, like, and it divides your
you know what?
Drive.
I would go through the trouble to do it, but I know that because you have a son and a career, you won't play it, so it's not worth my trouble.
No.
But I will loan you my laptop.
Okay.
So
I will watch you play. Let's do that.
Oh yeah. And then you can play one game. I'll play another. It'll be great.
No, I just want to watch.
I have Pong. I have Corvin, my Klingon security officer.
Who was that? The Klingon you played for a day.
No, I have. No, he was Corgan, which sounded like Carson.
Or what my son calls you.
We're close. All this was before that. I created Aven. He's an Andorian, also tactical officer. I have Karina North. She's an engineer. She looks over there. She looks like Kat, though. She doesn't look like Karina North. But the character that does look like the real Karina North is Melina Lunar, which is a Betazoid blonde girl. She's the best of my crew.
Really?
She's smart.
Would she give it up if I joined the crew?
I don't know. I'll show you the picture. And then...
does she like Kirk? Like, is she like a liaison?
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
She's Betazoid,
too. You sent her
too.
Down on an away mission, and she handles business with her tatas.
But she's also... she's a Betazoid, so she can read your thoughts. And then
so
there's,
she knows what you want.
And then she doesn't
right
get
now,
you.
Daddy's only
tease.
Wanting one thing.
What's that?
Melina Luna. I need a Lunar to lean on for me.
It's not dirty.
Huh?
It's just Star Trek.
Oh.
And then this week
wait, the whole point of this game is not to screw aliens?
No.
Oh, never mind. I'm out.
It might be that level. I haven't gotten there yet.
When you make captain, that's when you really pull
Someday,
into alien poontang.
You can go to that planet. I added Keeltalk and Onyx, a creature I made myself. He's a 6-foot tall
Onyx?
Android. Onyx. Yeah, he's white.
Slam! Da da da! That was Onyx. They were the rap
What's
group.
What's this button do?
All right. That's been our show.
Thanks for letting me list my nerdy stuff. Can I put pictures up of my crew?
Are you kidding? Yes. You can put it up on a website. We have secondfunniespodcast.com. We can put pictures up, everything.
I'll put it there.
You don't have Dreamweaver, huh?
I do, of course. What are you talking about? I don't have Dreamweaver.
Well, then I'll give you the access. You can edit the website.
I'm so glad we're talking this on air.
I know. That's what I was just thinking.
Kat, do you want to say anything?
We should do this more often. We should do this episode. Screw these guests.
Yeah. You say that every time. And then at the end of the episode, when we have a guest, you go, oh, we got to have you on more of the time. What you need to do is have a podcast recorded every day. That would do it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we do it 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day.
Daddy could barely do this.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Daddy's looking good, though. Anything?
Thank you, baby.
Jacob? Anybody? Okay.
All right. On behalf of Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham. I don't know why I'm for both of us, but everybody. Okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st. April 28th through May 1st, I'm going to be at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter in Temecula, California. I'm going to be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th. For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.